Welcome to the Deep Sexy Play podcast. I'm your host, EJ Love, and this is my uncensored space designed to stimulate your mind and give you full permission to explore your curiosities and express your deepest sexual desires. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get turned on. Before we get started in this episode, I just want to let you know that there are some chunks of audio where the volume for you may go lower or higher. So you may just have to adjust your volume when that happens. I didn't realize until after I recorded this episode, and it was just too good to re-record. So let's just get right into it. Welcome to what is going to be a very juicy and interesting episode of this podcast. I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, the art of tantric cock worship, or some people may call lingam worship. So before we get into all the juiciness, I just want to let you know that I'm currently sitting here in a beautiful villa in Bali, and I am listening to the beautiful sounds of motorbikes in the background. So I'm quite close to the road, so you may hear from time to time some motorbike noises, but fingers crossed that we may get through this nice and clean and clear, because I wouldn't want you to miss anything, and there's going to be some really great stuff on this episode. So as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I've been working in this space for quite some time now, and I have to say I've probably worshipped thousands of cocks in my time, and it's actually been a real honor to be able to offer this work. And I want to start by sharing and going through with you really four things on this episode. And one is, you know, why would we want to offer a tantric cock worship, and what is the difference between that and just, you know, massaging a cock or giving a hand job or a blow job? I mean, what is the difference? Secondly, how I got into this, and specifically how I developed my own tantric cock worship sessions. And then I'm going to actually go into what actually happens in a session, yeah, and going through my whole ritual that I developed. And then finally, I want to share with you how you can actually learn this for yourself and how to be able to offer it to a man, either professionally or personally. So let's start by talking about what cock worship is not. Because if you Google cock worship, you will find a whole lot of porn videos come up, and it is all very much performance, goal focused, get to the money shot. And look, this just isn't what it is. Not my version anyway, definitely not in the tantric space what it is. And so when I was starting to explore like lingam massage and cock worship, there wasn't a lot of education out there for this. So I had to go and do trainings and retreats and get some personal sessions so that I could learn this for myself. And through that, I was able to develop my own sessions and my own unique flavor. So for me, what cock worship is it really is about honoring not just a man's penis, but really who he is. Yeah, who he is as a man. Yeah, so it's honoring the whole being. And the cock is very connected to a man's heart. Yeah, so when we're working with cock energy, we're cracking a man's heart open, essentially, and we're helping him to feel his emotions and feel who he really is. Yeah, so the first thing is to know that it's not about a performance. It is not about trying to make a man have an orgasm. It's not trying to make him feel pleasure. It's not about trying to make anything happen, right? And it's very much about the intention and coming from your heart and coming from love. Most of the time we are taught about a man's pleasure is about this happy ending, about getting him to have an ejaculation. And from my past experience, when I would give a man a hand job or I'd give a man a blow job, that I would always be trying to make him come. Yeah? And so this is not what that's about. So I want to be very clear about that. And what that does is it actually then opens a man up to what pleasure he can experience. Yeah, so there is so much more for a man to be able to experience. And unfortunately, most men, they really have experienced that conditioning of getting to that happy ending, getting to that money shot. And they learn through watching porn and they're seeing, masturbation and their hand jobs and blow jobs, and it's all very fast and friction based. And I used to think that this is essentially what a man wanted, and that for me to have done a good job, that I would need to get him to that happy ending. So I want to share with you a beautiful story to give you really an idea of what is possible when we bring tantric cock worship to a man. And this is a personal story. It's from a lover that I was journeying with, and we were exploring a lot of different tantric practices. And something that was happening in our lovership dynamic was that when I would be on top of him having sex, that he would go soft. And he could never quite understand why he would go soft, because when he was on top, he was fine. He would get his cock would get nice and hard, and we could easily he could can have sex for a long time. But as soon as I was on top of him, he couldn't stay hard. And so I said to him, I would love to offer you a tantric cock worship as part of with an intention for healing. Yeah, because what I could see and feel was that he actually was struggling to receive. Like, he was great at giving, and like anytime he was giving and he was in control, that it was easy for him to stay hard. But as soon as it came for him, time for him to receive, there was a lot of vulnerability around that. And so his cock would go soft because there was so much vulnerability. And this is where I talk about, the cock is connected to the heart, it's connected to a man's feelings and his emotions. So, this is not just about, pleasure, it's also about like an emotional experience. So we set this beautiful intention, and I went through this beautiful healing and offering this beautiful tantric cock worship, and allowed him to be fully soft. You know, it was very clear at the start that there was no need for him to get hard, and I wanted him to really let go of needing to be hard. Yeah, and that's very important when we offer this type of ritual, is the man doesn't feel like that he has to do anything, that he has to perform. And I've always been very clear with clients that, that they may notice that they might go in and out of hardness, they might be soft the whole time, they could be hard the whole time, that all of it is welcome. Yeah, so that it's all welcome, and there's no way that that man has to be. And for a man, that can feel so incredibly relieving, because most men feel that if they are not hard, that there's something wrong with them, that they're not performing, yeah, that they're broken in some way, and they'll be really hard on themselves and really shame themselves, or feel that they're not. That they're wrong in some way. And so it's very important when we're offering this type of ritual that they can release any of that. And then they just get to relax, and then they get to receive. Yeah? And a lot of men, from my experience, have really struggled to receive because they always feel like they need to be doing something to be worthy. So this ritual is very beautiful to help heal some of that. So with this lover, that was part of our intention, and through the ritual, I allowed him to be however he was, hard, soft, and it was beautiful. And then during the ritual, he said to me, "I feel a pressure in my head." And I said, "What are you feeling? What's the emotion underneath the pressure?" And he said, "Sadness." And he began to cry. And I was able to just really hold him in that and stroke his hair and allow him to feel those feelings come up. And it was so beautiful, and it's such an honor. And this came from me worshipping him and worshipping his cock, and how beautiful is that? And this is just, you know, really shows us how connected this is to a man and his heart. And so after the ritual, we lay there together and we shared about the experience. And I got curious and I asked him, can you tell me more about what was going on for you in the sadness? Was there anything else there? And he said, I can sense that it's about me not feeling worthy. Not feeling worthy to receive, not feeling worthy of love. And it was so beautiful just to really hold him in that and really get that and allow him to feel whatever he needed to feel. Now, after this experience, the next time that I was on top of him, he was hard as a rock. And he had no problems getting hard after that. So that to me just says how we can offer these beautiful worship, how healing it can be to offer this type of ritual. Yeah, and especially when so many men have struggled with feeling like they need to perform, feeling like they need to be hard. And I've seen men like furiously trying to rub their penis, trying to get hard, when that is actually can make it worse. Like, it's the opposite, right? Because if we just actually be like, what is actually the feeling that needs to be felt right now? Yeah, what is actually, like, if you allow yourself to just relax and receive and be in your body, what is the feeling there? Because I know I've said this many times, I'll say it again, most men's sexual dysfunctions are linked to their emotions. And underneath their dysfunctions are emotions that are wanting to be felt and expressed, like shame and guilt, unworthiness. And the amount of men that I've seen that when they're getting close, and this has happened in sessions, to feeling an emotion, they'll go to want to ejaculate, or their body will do it for them. To actually avoid feeling the emotion, to avoid feeling sadness, for example. Yeah, they'll go to find another way to get it out in a way that's more comfortable, like having an ejaculation as a stress relief. So this for me is really the why of why offer a tantric cock worship session, because it can be profoundly healing and deeply connecting, especially if you're offering this to your partner or a lover. It can be such a beautiful way to really connect. So tantric cock worship is how we open a man's heart. Yeah, a lot of women are trying to get a man to open his heart by talking. Like, tell me how you feel, share how you feel, right? But actually a man's positive pole is his cock, and so to offer him this ritual can really get him to open up. A lot of men, when they first would come to me and they're struggling with sexual dysfunctions, is I would take them through this ritual, and then I would give them similar tools and practices so that they could actually do this for themselves. So if you're actually a man who's listening to this episode, just know that yes, you can go and see a practitioner to get this type of ritual, and you can very much do this for yourself. It's about changing the way that you actually self-pleasure and giving yourself the space to be able to feel the emotions that arise instead of going into the friction-based pleasure. Because you'll notice that, and my experience is that there's a lot of men who use masturbation as a form of avoidance and numbing to avoid their feelings. And so when we use conscious self-pleasure, we can use that to actually feel the feelings and allow them to be expressed. And if you are struggling with sexual dysfunctions, I really recommend this and going on that journey. I do actually have a men's sex mastery program that I've developed for men to be able to go on this journey. And I'll talk about that at the end of the episode, because I do have a special offer for those who listen to the podcast. So I really want to just hone in how important and how beautiful it is to offer this ritual. And the last episode, we spoke about the sacred prostitute, and really, I believe this is what they used to do to initiate men. And this is very much a missing piece of men's initiation, is their sexual initiation. So we as women, we can really offer this to men and support them to be initiated so that they can connect to their hearts, so that they can feel their emotions, so that they can open to love, so that they can feel worthy, so that they can get out of that pressure of needing to perform and do and achieve to feel good enough. It's all connected. So let's talk about what tantric cock worship is in terms of, like, what does it look like practically? Yeah, because what I want to say is, like, tantric cock worship is not just doing a whole lot of massage techniques. Yeah, it's not really lingam massage. That is part of it. But if that is the only thing that you're doing, then it's not true cock worship. So when I first started out, I had another tantric practitioner teach me how to do lingam massage, and I learned all these amazing techniques. And I would do this within a tantric massage session and do all these techniques. However, for a while, I was very much in my mind trying to get it right and learn, do all the proper techniques and follow the book. And actually, what I learned is that being embodied and being connected to your heart and intuition, this is really the true way of worship. Yeah, and is the best way to be a true practitioner in this space is giving from this place. And so when people have come to train with me and learn from me, I will say to them, look, I can give you all the techniques in the world, but at the end of the day, the biggest gift that you can give is coming from love and coming from your own intuition when you're offering this. Yeah, and being really connected to your own heart and feeling into the love that you have for this person. Even if you don't know that person, a lot of the work that I've done with women is on understanding and loving men so that they can then offer this from that place. You know, I really think that it actually, if you're going to work in this space, that you need to be doing your work around understanding and loving men and healing your relationship with men so that you can really give from that authentic place of love. It's very hard to truly love and offer this worship if you've still got a whole heap of wounding and conditioning around you relating with men. Yeah, so that should be a foundational piece, and it is something that we teach in my conscious sexuality training. So for a while I was doing tantric massage, I was doing lingam massage, and I was also doing my own embodiment and my own healing around my relationships with men. And that is where things started really to shift. I started to really come from more of a place of love. I started to trust myself more. This is a big piece. So this is where the feminine embodiment came in, is that learning to trust myself, trust where I was feeling guided to. Yeah, and it never ceased to amaze me how many things I would do intuitively in my sessions that I'd never seen before, but it's just what I felt guided to. And then the clients would tell me afterwards, oh, when you did that thing, like, it felt like this, it felt amazing, or like I had this feeling come up, or they'd tell me about a memory or an experience that had come up from that particular thing. So this is a big piece I want to land here. If you're offering this, it's like to really trust when you feel intuitively guided to do something, even if it makes no sense. Obviously, you want to do it within the client's or the person's boundaries. That's really important. But you know, sometimes you might find like a certain way you want to touch, the certain way you want to hold, is the certain way you want to connect. Is something that you just feel this intuitive guidance to, and it's really important to trust that. So after I'd been doing this for a while, I decided that I really wanted to teach other women, and I started running workshops and trainings, and then I got into a co-facilitation with a male coach and practitioner, and we decided to demonstrate together this beautiful ritual. And at that time, I felt I hadn't been actually using necessarily the term tantric cock worship. It was more tantric massage and lingam massage. And as we were coming closer to the workshop, I woke up in the middle of the night and I just had the full ritual come to me. I got out my laptop and I just started typing it out and writing it out. And I think the workshop was literally that next weekend. And I had one client in like between. I was like, I'm going to do this on this one client. And so I did this session with this client, the full ritual, and he was blown away, cracked open. It was so incredible. And I was like, okay, there's something here, this beautiful tantric worship ritual. Like, this has come to, like, basically, I would say downloaded to me, came to me. And I knew that I had to do it at the workshop. So, and what was really interesting is that my co-facilitator, he brought to my attention, because we'd done a bit of a, we'd done a practice, and he said, look, I can feel a bit of you wanting to get this right. And then that came to me. I think it was a couple of days later that came to me, and I was like, okay, this makes sense. So as soon as I'd gotten out of this, I had to get out of the part of me that wanted to get things right. That's that performative part. I had to get that out of the way so that I could fully allow this to drop in and come through. And so my co-facilitator, he just fully trusted that what was going to happen at the workshop. He had no idea what we were doing, and I just knew that I had to, this is what I, the transmission that I had to give. And so we did the tantric worship ritual. It was on the final afternoon of the workshop, and this was a woman's workshop, but then we invited men in on the second day in the late afternoon for ritual and for practicing and different connection practices. And so we had, it would have been about 40 people in this space. And this is very vulnerable for me to be witnessing this thing that I'd done once. Even though I'd been doing a lingam massage and tantric massage for so long, this is a completely new ritual. I'd done it once and now I'm doing it in front of 40 people. Just throw myself in the deep end. But I just knew, like, this had to happen. And it was so incredibly beautiful. And so many people were crying in who were witnessing this ritual. And they shared with me afterwards that just witnessing the ritual had been so deeply healing. And so this is what we call a transmission, when we get to witness something and then we get our own healing through the witnessing. And it was just so incredibly powerful. And I was like, okay, this is, I have to continue this. So that's after that. I kept developing it and I kept doing these sessions, and these sessions actually became very popular. I had like many men that just came to see me just for these sessions ongoingly. Okay, so now for the really juicy bit, I'm going to go into the actual tantric cock worship ritual, and I'm going to guide you through essentially what it is that I developed. I don't like calling it a process. It's not really a process. Let's call it an outline. And really, it's a series of beautiful rituals that I've brought together, and to really just allow men to drop in and soften and open themselves up. So the first thing that I think I believe is necessary before any session is always talking about boundaries. So where does the man want to be touched, not want to be touched, what's a hard no, and being very clear about that, as well as always speaking my own boundaries. One of the things that was really important for me to share with men is that this is about them and it's about them receiving. A lot of men, what they would do is they would go and try to touch, and often that's a part of them trying to avoid vulnerability of receiving. If I touch her, like, then it's, oh, it's like a more even exchange, which is also saying, oh, I'm not really worthy of just receiving this all for myself. So they can feel like, oh, if I touch her and give to her, then I'm also giving as well, so I'm more worthy of this. Or often they might do it because they might even just want to be taking in some way, and they're not aware that that's what they're doing. They're like, oh, I need, they have it. They think that they need to be touching because they need to get aroused, or they need to get hard. So that's something I had to really learn some good hard boundaries that I put into place, and I just learned what I had to speak before. And I would say things like, "This is all about you. So if I notice that you might reach out, you might want to reach out to me, you might want to touch me, I'm going to gently place my hands back towards you because this is really important. This is all about you. It's all about you receiving." So once they knew that, then it gave me permission to also like be able to do that. Yeah, to be able to move their hands back to them and know that they're not going to get disappointed or think that they've done something wrong, because that's often that could something could happen is like men making themselves wrong. Oh my God, I shouldn't have, and then I should have touched her, and then they've gone out of their experience. So I learned a lot about what I call pre-framing things going into a session that could come up so that they could fully be in their experience. So that's just one example of pre-frames. There are many more, but I just wanted to land that one. This is a very, very important one, is if men get knowing that this is all for them and that they don't have to give anything back, and also that they don't need to be hard, they don't need to perform, that being soft is so welcome. Yeah, they could be soft the whole time and that's completely fine. So they just, it's just so they know that they're okay to be just as they are. Really important. The next thing is like setting an intention. What is the intention for the worship ritual? It might be healing around sexual dysfunction. It might be being able to fully receive. It might be opening the heart. It could be experiencing different types of pleasure. Any of those things. Yeah, so getting clear on what the intention is, and also both the giver and receiver sharing their intention. So I would also share what my intention is for as a giver for the ritual. So I would also generally give the men an idea of what we're going to be doing, and letting them know if there was anything they weren't comfortable with, that they could speak a safe word, or they could stop at any time, and we could move into something else. And that they're also welcome to ask for what they want. Many men, not great at asking for what they want. So I actually did develop sessions supporting men, helping them to ask for what they want so they could practice that. So I always would encourage that, you know, if they want something different, that they can always welcome to speak up. Sometimes they just need to be given permission. So the first thing that I would always generally start with is an eye gazing practice, getting connected with the client of the man, taking some deep breaths together, so to calm their nervous system. And we really want a man to be in his parasympathetic nervous system state. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to receive. He's going to be very much in more of a doing mode rather than a receiving mode. And there's a lot of men that would come who are very busy, they're in between work, they've got a lot going on. So very important to use the breath and co-regulate together through some eye gazing, and maybe holding the hands to get connected in that way. And then we'd move into a undressing ritual. And this is very slow. Like, I've done undressing rituals that have taken half an hour. Yeah, so most men, or most people in general, when they're going to have an intimate experience, will often just throw their clothes off, quickly take them off and get naked. Yeah, or perhaps maybe a bit more shy and maybe not that quickly, but my experience is like, get the clothes off, have a shower, jump on the table, jump in the bed. So this is such a beautiful way to honor a man's body and allow him to actually be seen. And again, vulnerability can come up in this space. And what I loved about this is also having a man really feel his body through the senses that get to, sorry, the sensations that get to be experienced when a man actually feels the clothes on his skin being gently taken off. And while I would do that, I would also use words, beautiful words. And it might be words such as, "I'm here to honor you. I'm here to worship you. It's time for you to allow yourself to receive. This is all for you. This is all for you to be appreciated for the man that you are. And then encouraging him to really breathe that in and really receive it. So with the undressing ritual, often I might stroke their hair and gently touch their arms and their hands. It's very soft and very sensual. Yeah, I could maybe offer a little bit of harder massage as well, but very slowly. The key is slowness. And what I also would encourage is a man to breathe. Yeah, so breathing in the touch, feeling the touch, just breathing it into the body. Yeah, so it's about getting the man very present with himself and his body. So we're using breath, we're using touch, and then I would also incorporate sound. So I would ask the man to let out a sigh, let out an audible sigh, like get him opening him up. Like a lot of men struggle to make sound. Yeah, and our sound is connected to our pleasure. The more sound we make, the more pleasure we can feel. So this is a nice gentle way to get him opening up. So once I had taken his shirt off, I would walk behind him and I'd actually take my hands and hug him from behind. So one hand on his heart, one hand on his belly, and I would really encourage him to lean back and let go and let himself be held. Sometimes I'd do this against a wall or sitting down against a wall, and that just allowed him to really let go. And I think what's really important to know is that so many men have never been held. Like they've never been held to just let go and fully surrender. We talk a lot about woman surrendering, woman letting go, being in that feminine. But what about men letting go, men surrendering, men being held? You know, they really need this too, especially when they're in their sympathetic nervous system doing a lot. Like they need that support and they need to be held as well. Remember, I was at a party once, and this was a swingers party, and there was a group of men, and I was standing and with these men. I was talking about these tantric sessions, and I did the. I said, "Oh, do you want me to demonstrate how I do this holding?" And they were like, "Yeah." They were really like curious, and so I took this one man and I did this practice, and I just noticed all the men's bodies suddenly soften. They all took a breath and they're like, "Oh." And there's about four men in this circle, and they're like, "Oh my God." They were just like, "Oh, that looks amazing." And these men had never heard of, well, they'd heard of tantra, but they'd never experienced anything like it. And I just felt the relief in that room where they just all felt like, "Oh my God, I get to be held as well." And it's interesting because this swingers party was very much about like performing and pleasuring the woman. And I just really felt like, oh my God, these men are longing to relax from that need to perform. They're longing to just let go of that and also to be held as well. Yeah, and then they were all like, "Oh, can you come and like do this at it? And we're running an event, can you come and do this?" And I could tell they just longed for it, they wanted it. And I've had that experience so many times with men just having these sessions and just feeling so nourished and so delicious and so like relaxed. It's probably one of the most common responses I would have a man say to me after doing a session. I'd be like, "Oh, I just feel so relaxed." So as I'm holding him, I'm also encouraging him to breathe up from his sex center into his heart. And I'm really wanting to guide him into learning how to harness his sexual energy. Yeah, so when he feels that arousal and desire, instead of wanting to get it out, maybe through some kind of penetration or masturbation, it's like actually about breathing it up into the heart. And so I'd either do this as I was guiding him through the undressing ritual. I would have done it beforehand, just getting him to practice that so he has actually an embodied experience of that, and then encouraging him to do this throughout the rest of the ritual, especially when he's starting to feel arousal, he's starting to get hard, breathing that up into the heart. And then after we've done the undressing ritual, this is when I'd go into an embodied dance. And this is about the masculine witnessing the feminine as the goddess, And this dance is a dance of reverence, is a dance of honor, is a dance of worship. It's honoring the feminine, but using the feminine energy to really nourish the masculine. Yeah, because when we dance, like, this is our feminine essence being expressed, and that actually nourishes a man. Like, a man actually longs for this essence, yeah, because it really does nourish him. And so what I would do is have the man being witnessing, and I would be in this dance. And if he notices this, he gets arousal and desire, then we welcome that. We don't make it wrong. Really important. It's like welcoming him and then having him breathe that up into his heart, yeah, allowing it to permeate his body, allowing it to nourish his heart. Yeah, so it's a really beautiful dance of the goddess to be able to witness her in this way, and the masculine just feel absolutely nourished. And it's a devotional dance as well. It's devoting to the masculine as we allow him to witness us. Now, once I'd dance, I'd gently move closer to the man. I'd usually have him in this beautiful king chair. Yeah, so he's sitting up on this king chair in witnessing position. And I would offer a feet washing ritual. So really beautifully washing the feet, honoring the feet. And this is also about, like, you know, the feet are, this is a man's, like, he walks around all day. This is part of him doing things, getting shit done. Like, this is him in his masculine, his provider and protector. And it's like really honoring that part of him as we wash the feet. So I would often say to a man, may I wash your feet? And then as I'm washing the feet, I'm doing with devotion. Yeah, if you go to get a foot massage or a reflexology, especially here in Bali, it's very, very, like, technique-based. It's very, like, to get in there, do the thing. There's no real heart in it. You know, it's not devotional. There's a real big difference between giving a foot wash for a foot massage than actually taking the time and the presence and the slowness to really honor this person's feet. And then I would take a moment to just bow at the end before moving into the touch and the massage part of the ritual. So you're welcome to massage a man's whole body if you wish. Often I would do a full tantric massage. Sometimes I would have them up on the chair and I would actually come from behind and I would massage their chest and their shoulders and their head, and then moving down to the legs and the thighs. And the main thing is that it's not about getting it right. It's not about techniques. It's about really dropping into the heart and feeling into the heart and letting the heart extend down to your hands and feeling as though your hands are an extension of your heart. And so you're really expressing that love and devotion as you're touching. And often I would have had a conversation, usually I would have a conversation with the client before, in what ways do they love to be touched and they would like to be touched in this session. And then you can also check in as you're touching, like, is there any way I could make this touch more perfect? Is there any way that you like this a little bit differently? And you're just checking in with the person, with the man, about the touch, essentially. And sometimes they need to be, as I mentioned before, some men struggle to ask for what they want or speak up. So it's often good to check in and see, because they might want to change it, but they might not have the confidence to ask or feel comfortable enough to ask. I also often would use things like rope, feathers. Sometimes I would actually tie a rope around a man and allow him to lean forward and surrender. I would use different types of oils, smells, like bringing a full sensory experience, sarong over the top, and then gently guiding it off the full body is really beautiful. So these are some things that are often used in tantric massage to create more of a sensory experience and to really open up the body. Then once the body is open, I would move into the lingam. And so I'm not going to go through all lots of lingam massage techniques because it's really not about that. It could be you just gently stroking very slowly and softly the lingam the whole time. And then one thing I will say though is it's definitely about like moving the energy from the lingam up into the heart as well. So often like moving up from the cock into the heart with the hands and getting the man to really breathe up as you're doing this. So again, it's really about following your intuition, the heart. You can definitely use techniques. There are plenty, but that's not really what this is focused on. And it's really about focusing on her and appreciating, loving who this man is, and this cock being such a big part of who a man is, and honoring that and allowing him to feel the connection between the cock and his heart. I think that it's so important that a man discovers this connection in himself if he wants to be liberated, if he wants to feel loved. So in my experience with doing this in session, some men, they might feel close to ejaculation. How I would work with this is that I would never make that wrong. And there's some people out there that work in this space that are very much like very strong on no ejaculation. I don't work that way. I've very much been about allowing the man to be in his experience and at the same time not letting his need for ejaculation take over and take away from the experience. So it's a dance and it's a fine line, and this is something I would always pre-frame, is that this is not about you having an ejaculation, it's not focused on getting there. However, if it was to happen, that is welcome, and we don't make that wrong essentially. However, we also don't want it to be a focus either. We don't want you to focus on trying to make it happen. It's fine to complete this session with allowing it not to happen. And really trying to set this as an intention that it's not about that. But it's also really important not to make men wrong, especially if a man struggles from premature ejaculation and he can't help it if he was to ejaculate. I would often guide them into breathing and having them use their breath, because some of them men can and have experienced other types of orgasms, especially energy orgasms, through having a tantric cock worship session. So that definitely is something that can happen. And again, that's also not the goal, right? Unless you're setting that as your intention. Yeah, but I always encourage, like, try not to focus on it being about having it some type of orgasm. So when I would complete, I'd often just finish with a hand on the cock and a hand on the heart, and just having the man gently take some breaths and just allowing himself to feel the sensation in his body. And then covering him up with a sarong, and they're just sitting next to him, either in a bowing position or holding his hand. Often I would have had the man blindfolded, and so I might take off his blindfold at this point in time and then allow him to come back in his own time, and then just beautifully connecting through the eyes and feeling into gratitude and appreciation of the session and of the person that you've had this beautiful journey with. One thing that I didn't mention is that using some really loving and appreciative words during the session, especially about a man's cock, is really beautiful. And it's important to be really authentic. Yeah, so don't try and say anything that's not true because you think you should say it. It's like, what do you, especially if it's your partner, like, what do you actually love about your partner's cock? Yeah, so words might be, you have a beautiful cock. I love the way it feels in my hands. I love touching it when it's soft. I love worshipping your cock. I worship your cock. So for some people that might be a challenge. I know that I've definitely been challenged with it in the past. And so I would speak to more like how it feels. So how it feels in my hands. I love touching it when it's soft. Yeah, so speaking from like that experience can be a beautiful way to start. And when you do tell him what you love about his cock, look him in the eyes, and he'll really feel this. Allow him to breathe that in and feel it. He's really allowing his whole body to take that in. A lot of men have a lot of shame, a lot of conditioning, and are really hard on themselves around their cocks and the way that they look, the way that they perform. And so this is a really beautiful way to actually support healing of that. Now, the last thing I want to mention about the ritual is that what you embody can change the dynamic of the ritual. And this is can be really beautiful. So I've done a lot of feminine archetype embodiment work. So you can choose to embody different feminine archetypes that can actually bring a whole different experience to the ritual. So for example, if you're in a priestess archetype, this is going to be more of an initiation experience. Yeah, so you're here, you're offering this as an initiation. And so when you dance for the man, you'll do a priestess, a devotional priestess dance. Yeah, and this is where you're really exploring from your hands and the way that your heart is coming out and is an extension of your hands, and you're offering this. The way you dance is an offering of your heart. Yeah, to come and bring your heart to his cock to open his heart so that he can feel what he needs to feel. And you're very much holding space for him. Yeah. Another way you might want to do it is in more of like the seductive slut energy, and you can make it more sexy. Yeah, you can make it more seductive and arousing. Another archetype is the mother. Yeah, and so you probably think, oh, well, why would I want to be in a mother energy and it, having a sexual experience? But this is more it's a nurturing energy. Yeah, so it's coming from more like I'm nurturing this person. I'm giving a nurturing, nourishing experience. And then we have the dominatrix archetype. So the dominatrix would be you're more in that role of telling the man what to do, and he is being more submissive to your cock worship, and you might want to be taking, with obviously with consent, from him for your own pleasure and worshipping his cock because you fucking love it and you want to do what you want with it. So there are lots of different ways that you can explore tantric cock worship. What makes it tantric is really the presence, the breath, the sound, and the bringing it into the heart. Yeah. So with the domination, I've done this in a domination, in a really what I call sensual domination, and very much coming from love and coming from my heart, and more so doing it in a way where the man is fully told what to do and he hasn't doesn't have to think about anything. Yeah, and we've got consent around that, and he is in full surrender and submitting to the worship. So it's not so much about him healing, any sexual dysfunctions or having that really emotional experience, although that could definitely happen. Emotions could definitely come up, and you would need to hold that, or I would hold that. When I have explored, they're more of this seductive, I would often use like strawberries and chocolate, and I'd be seducing and teasing the man with those things as part of like having him up on the and sitting in the king chair, and then I'd be sitting in front of him after the foot washing, and then like get a strawberry out and play with it and tease him and lick my lips and be sexy in that way. One of the ways that I have also done this in a relationship is in a really devotional way, was when my partner was away at a men's weekend and he came back, and I offered it to him as a way to really honor him and the work that he was doing. And he was very much a being in his warrior. And what was really important was that when he was away, I was also nourishing myself so that when he returned, I could also give from a full cup. And I think this is one of the really important pieces, is that we want to be doing this from our overflow of our own cup. So filling up our own cup and then giving from overflow. So I was really able to give him that because I had been nourishing myself with baths and pleasure and doing things that really built my oxytocin, so that I had all this yummy love to give to him when he returned. And it was so beautiful being able to do that for him. And really, that's what used to happen back in many years ago, where the warriors would come home and the priestesses would, or they come to the temple and the priestesses would cleanse them and worship them. So what was really beautiful was he was still covered in some of the dirt that they'd been doing in the processes. So I actually got to cleanse him and wipe away the dirt and bathe him and wash away and just cleanse him. And it was just so incredibly beautiful. And then I went into this beautiful ritual and washed his feet, and he actually cried, because like just to come home to that, to welcome my man home, like from the battlefield, to be worshipped and loved, like that absolutely filled his cup, and to receive in that way was just so nourishing for him. Yeah, often men, they're going out and they're working, and then they come home and then it's just more this and more that and more, like, you know, more responsibilities. And so I do think this is really important for men to be able to have opportunities to receive, whether it's, you know, seeing a professional or receiving it from their own partner. And if you are offering this, it is so important to be also filling your own cup, so that you can really give it from that place of overflow. So if you are sitting here listening to this and there's a part of you that is like, oh, I've just got nothing left to give, I feel tired, exhausted, perhaps there's even some resentment in the space towards your partner, and you're like, why would I want to give that to him? He's not meeting my needs or giving to me. Then that is a sign that perhaps you are overgiving or not asking for what you want or need and feeling unmet in some way. Yeah. And there might be some dynamics playing out in the relating that's causing some resentment. And it's very hard to give from this place of love and overflow when there's resentment in the space. So that would need to be cleared up first. And just to give you an example, I used to play the caretaker role and the rescuer role a lot in my relationships, always putting the other person before me. And this even happened in my work professionally. I was running these roles, always looking after men and trying to meet their needs, and at the detriment of my own nourishment, of my own nurturing, of my own intimacy. So it's really important that we do look after ourselves first, so that we can give from that really beautiful place. And then look at anywhere there might be resentment. That might be resentment from past experiences with men that are not allowing us to really be in our hearts. So it's really important to explore that. And the other thing I want to add here is that if you are curious about learning more about and different worship rituals and practices, and perhaps you're not ready to jump into a training yet, then in my playbook, the Deep Intimacy Playbook, which you can find at deepsexyplay.com, and I'll also put it in the show notes, I have lots of practices and worship rituals in there, many that I mention on my podcast, and also that beautiful honoring the masculine when he comes home is also in there. And if you are interested in doing the training, which is currently, the date of recording this episode, only in person, although we are looking at doing an online training where you will actually get to learn and practice the art of tantric cock worship, then go to www.consciousexualityexperience.com and you'll find all the information there on what we do. So one of the rituals, and we have many rituals that we teach, is this beautiful tantric cock worship ritual. And what we do is we bring men into the space who have happily volunteered to practice on. Now, this is optional. So I've had some women ask me, you know, they've got partners and perhaps they have an agreement that, you know, we're not going to touch other men's genitals, that you don't have to practice. You do the practice if it's not in alignment with your agreements and you're relating, or that you just don't feel comfortable with it. You can be a witnesser and learn that way. And also you have the option to also bring your partner to be in the space as well as your body that you're working with. So this is just such a beautiful way to learn it. I'm someone who loves practical experience. It's the best way that I learn. So if you're like me, then getting in the room with us and learning that way is going to be the best way for you. And also we do also teach feminine embodiment, so embodying those different archetypes that I mentioned, because it's very important that we do become the embodiment of what we're teaching, what we're bringing through. Yeah, who we are as we offer this ritual is so important. Rather than being in the mind and trying to do something or following a process or, you know, trying to get it right. That's the difference between being in the mind and being in the body, is the body is a felt sense. So it's about feeling into your heart and your body and allowing the transmission to come through as you offer this ritual. We will also be supporting you if there is anything in the way, such as resentment, that's holding you back from being able to offer this. We're going to help you clear that up as well, so you can really be in your heart and come from this place of love. And if you're a man listening to this and you're like, oh my God, EJ, I need to experience this. Where do I find this? So firstly, what I will say is that what I've gone through is the ritual that I've developed and that I've trained women in. So if you are looking for this specifically, then I recommend to reach out to me and then I can refer you to one of these women that's been trained in this. And at some point, we will have a directory up so that you can be able to find them directly in your area. Otherwise, you can look for tantra practitioners. However, they may not do this ritual specifically, but they definitely offer tantric massage. And just ask them what they do. And then, like, a tantric massage can be just as beautiful, right? So, and you generally will, depending on the practitioner, just checking in if they do offer the lingam massage, then you'll get that experience of connecting the lingam, the cock, to the heart. And also, I would recommend to be doing this for yourself. Yeah, so obviously there's certain things you might not necessarily be able to do just for yourself, but there definitely are things like learning how to consciously self-pleasure with the breath and the sound and the touch and getting out of that performance-based, happy ending, goal-focused experience. It's about really being able to experience your whole body and the pleasure that's available to you. I do have a free MP3 to support you with this that I recommend that men do to listen to and start doing these practices. So I'll put that link in the show notes so that you can download that for free. And then I also have a men's sex mastery program that is based on tantric principles. It's a 4-week journey, and you can, if you go to ejlove.com/mensmastery, and if you put in the code podcast, you'll actually get 25% off. And if you've got any questions about that, please feel free to message me. I'm happy to answer your questions. You can find me on Instagram, EJ Love Official. I'm also on Facebook. And I'll put all those in the show notes, all those links. And I just want to say, like, I really, really, really recommend that a man experiences this at least once in his life. And men, you're so beautiful. You're so worthy of love. You're so worthy of being appreciated and worshipped. And I really want all men to know this, because Men are just amazing and beautiful, and I want to see more people loving themselves and more people coming together to love each other and being able to experience being loved and being sexually empowered and knowing that our hearts and our sex are very deeply connected and that these rituals and conscious sexuality supports us to do this. So if anything has really spoken to you on this podcast episode, I would love you to write a review on Apple or on Spotify. You can't on Spotify, you can just give it 5 stars, but to write a review on Apple would mean the world to me, and I'm sure it would, touch other people to know that this is possible for them as well.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Deep Sexy Play. If you're ready to get sexy, then I have a playbook full of intimate questions, sexy games, and deep connection practices, which you can get at deepsexyplay.com. If this episode stimulated your mind, I invite you to like and follow the podcast. And if you're feeling extra sexy or got something out of this episode, then I would love to receive and read your review. To connect with me and my listeners, you're welcome to join my free, private, Deep Sexy Play Facebook group. You can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at EJLoveOfficial, where you'll also find my latest offerings and ways to work with me. All these links are in the show notes. I hope you'll be back for more Deep Sexy Play.